I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I think the one thing I can say to this media, because this media gets kind of f***ed up sometimes when it comes to me. We don't have our full roster. Y'all know we don't have our full roster. Stop asking me stupid f***ing questions about if I feel like I can do something. If I had my roster like they did, then I feel like I can do whatever I want to do. I'm coaching really hard. My boys are playing really hard. I'm not embarrassed about nothing. We have four freshmen starting. Y'all need to act like it. Act like we got 17, 18, and 19-year-olds out here trying to learn how to play against 22, 23, and 24-year-old guys. Come on, man. Stop disrespecting me, bro. Like, don't do that. I work too f***ing hard. I work way too hard for that. Y'all write all these bullshit articles about me, and all I do is work. We got young kids on the floor. They got young kids on the floor.
Well, that was obviously an interesting response. We did not plan to open the CBS Sports Ion College Basketball podcast this morning talking about Memphis or Penny Hardaway, yeah. But given the way Penny responded to that question, you know, Thursday night it became the biggest story in college basketball, even bigger than Indiana's win over Purdue. So we opened with it, and there's obviously a lot to unpack. And I think more than anything, it speaks to the level of Penny's frustration. I think he's frustrated with what's happening on the court. How could you not be? They are 9-8 overall on a three-game losing streak, down to 54th at KenPom, down to 73rd. In the net, significantly now on the wrong side of the bubble. This is a team that was ranked in the top 10 of the AP poll, you know, back in November. So it's been a pretty significant tumble since then for a variety of reasons. And to hear Penny try to speak to the state of things last night, you know, I can understand his frustration, but there's some real problems with the points he tried to make. You know, among them, you know, when he said, you know, I haven't lost faith that I can do the job. If I had my full roster, I believe I could do anything. Well, the problem is that he had his full roster for a significant portion of the season.
Sure.
And they went 6-4 to start the season with the full roster. Like, he had the players that he wants to play available to him for the first 10 games of the season. It went 6-4 with losses to Georgia on the road, and Murray State at home. Like, shorthanded or not, and this is wild to think about, Memphis has been favored at tip-off in every game that it's lost. Memphis has 8 losses. Every one of those games, even when shorthanded, Memphis was favored to win the game, including last night, when the Tigers were, as we talked about on yesterday's show, 6-point favorites against SMU at tip-off, even after it was reported that DeAndre Williams and Landers Nolley would not play, the Tigers were still 6-point favorites. They were still supposed to win the game. Instead, they scored 2 points in the first 9 minutes. You know, this is a team that's lost at Tulane and at East Carolina. Shorthanded, sure, but, you know, Penny still had Landers Nolley, Earl Timberlake, Lester Quinones, Tyler Harris, Alex Lomax, Josh Minot at Tulane. And lost. Still had Jalen Duren, Amani Bates, Earl Timberlake, Lester Quinones, Josh Minot, and Tyler Harris at East Carolina. And lost. Like, shouldn't having 3 projected first-round NBA draft picks be enough to beat East Carolina? That's all anybody is really asking. We understand, everybody understands, if you're shorthanded and you got to play Houston, and, you know, that's going to be difficult. But, again, shorthanded or not, no matter who's available and who isn't, Memphis has been favored to win every game that Memphis has lost. That's a disturbing trend. They've now lost to four sub-120 KenPom teams. Ole Miss, which is ranked 122nd, Tulane, 132nd, East Carolina, 154th, and Georgia, 222nd. Georgia's 5-13 overall, 0-5 in the SEC. They've lost to East Tennessee State. They've lost to Gardner-Webb. But they beat full-strength Memphis. So when Penny says, if I had my full roster, things would be different, the problem is that he had his full roster for the first 10 games of the season, and things were not different. They lost to that Georgia team that can't beat anybody. They lost at home to a Murray State team when they were a double-digit favorite. Among the other things he said last night is that we have four freshmen starting. Y'all need to act like it. Well, first, they didn't start four freshmen. They started three plus a 21-year-old sophomore and a 21-year-old junior. But even if they did start four freshmen, like that's his decision. You know, he made the roster. He makes the starting lineup. If you didn't want to be this reliant on freshmen, then do what other coaches did, which is prioritize older players in the transfer portal rather than, you know, a very skinny 17-year-old Amani Bates. I guess big picture, it's just undeniable that the missteps are adding up and the excuses are coming one after another. You know, the missteps are all things we've talked about all season. The first one was that they didn't enroll a real high major point guard, which left Alex Lomax as the only point guard on the roster. And he's not good enough to play major minutes for a team that aspires to big things. Then the next misstep, or at least among the next missteps, you know, Penny didn't anticipate the possible chemistry problems that could come with adding two five-star freshmen late in the calendar. You know, five-star freshmen who were going to take minutes and shots away from last season's two best players, DeAndre Williams and Landers Nyland. Another misstep, didn't focus at all on getting his players vaccinated in the offseason, which led to contact tracing. Not breakthrough cases, but contact tracing, costing them games and making them play shorthanded because unvaccinated players will rule it out even though they never tested positive. Then another misstep, he hired an apparent anti-vaxxer in Rasheed Wallace as an assistant coach. And now Rasheed Wallace is no longer an assistant coach, reportedly because of his refusal to get vaccinated. So now Memphis is operating with a different staff than it planned to operate with this season. You know, I thought about this last night. You know, when the Tigers lost games early, they weren't supposed to lose. Penny said it was because the veterans weren't doing their jobs. When they lose games now, he says it's because he doesn't have those veterans available to him. Again, just lots of excuses. Meantime, Houston lost two of its top four scorers before Christmas to season-ending injuries. And the Cougars still haven't lost a game in this same crummy league. Kelvin Sampson's Cougars are down two of their top four scorers. They're on an eight-game winning streak. Lost two of the top four. No excuses. Just keep winning. That's that program. This is this program. Bottom line, it's a mess. And it's getting messier, obviously, by the day. Everybody in Memphis wants Penny to succeed. I was the loudest person yelling the fire Tubby, hire Penny stuff very early in Tubby Smith's second and last year at Memphis. The fire Tubby stuff will forever be right. It doesn't matter what happens with Penny Hardaway. It was time to fire Tubby Smith. But the second part of that, the hire Penny, it's not looking so great right now. You know, everybody wants him to succeed. Still, in this moment, including Jeff Calkins, I'm certain. But a lot of the same people who campaigned for Penny to get this job are obviously and understandably starting to lose confidence. I don't know how you couldn't.
Yeah, and a couple things with that. I mean, you know, you look at just they still obviously have quite a few games left in the season. I think we've talked about this a lot the last couple of weeks. I do think we're pretty much now at the point where it's like you got to win the conference tournament to get into the NCAA tournament, because I don't think any of us envision them going on some miraculous run where they string together a ton of games in a row. It just doesn't look like that's going to happen at this point. But you saw a lot last night. You talked about Tubby Smith, and you saw a lot of last night, Fire Penny Hardaway. I mean, you saw it all over social media. You can search that on Twitter. You're going to see it a lot in comments. I hate this. I think it's a silly thing to say right now. It's not going well, like you said, but I don't think anyone in this city that's being reasonable thinks that Penny Hardaway should be fired right now. I think a lot of people just hope that he's able to turn this thing around somehow. How does that look? Like if he was able to turn this thing around, how does that look, you know, over the next year in the calendar, let's say?
Well, I guess what you're asking is how would that happen?
Yeah.
And you know, the obvious way, you know, they're still the most talented team in this league. Get healthy, start beating these bad teams, and, you know, get in the AAC tournament and go win it, and then use that momentum to I think explore the transfer portal and enroll some veteran impactful guys who can make next season's team experienced, talented, and by extension, good. It feels like we've been talking for 4 years now about what's going to make next year better, why next season will be better than the last. At some point, they start to sound like silly conversations. You know, trust me, there's nobody outside of Memphis who is sitting around going, well, what does Penny Hardaway have to do to get this thing right? People outside of Memphis are sitting around going, he can't get it right. Like, he's had plenty of time. He's had the number one ranked recruiting class in the country twice. And he just, you know, some people can do this job, other people can't. And the perception around the country right now is that he's on the list of people who can't. That's why Jeff's question last night, I'm not surprised it led to a frustrated answer, but it's not a completely unfair question. I mean, I think in all walks of life, all of us, at some point, have started to question whether we can do something, you know, we're trying to do. You know, whether you're a kid trying out for a traveling baseball team or a club soccer team. Like, am I good enough to do this? You know, and now I'm in the middle of it. Now I know what it's like. Am I good enough to play? Am I good enough to flourish? You know, maybe you get a new job that you applied for and it could be a little bit over your head. Like, I thought I could do this, but man, it's not going well. Maybe I can't. What if you're a freshman in college? You know, you enroll in, you know, some Ivy League school or some other really good school. You've done nothing but been successful academically up until that point your entire life. Then you get there and, you know, you get a 2.0. Would you start to wonder, am I cut out for this? Can I do this? And I think more than anything, that's what Jeff was trying to ask last night. Like, have you ever had that seep into your head? Because honestly, if I were Penny Hardaway, I think it would seep into my head. Man, I've enrolled the best recruiting class in the country two of the past 3 years, but I can't even win at the rate that Houston's winning in the same league. They don't have any five-star recruits. They lose two of their top four players, including their best player. They keep winning. I have my full team, can't win. Lose some players, can't overcome it. You know, can I do this the way I need to do it to deliver on the things that I promised? Among those things being a national championship. You know, I would be wondering that if I were him. I think that was the root of Jeff's question, though I'll let Jeff speak for himself. There are people out there saying Penny Hardaway should be fired. I don't believe that's the case. And, oh, by the way, there are also people saying Penny Hardaway should apologize for last night or be punished for last night. I don't agree with that either.
Nah.
I mean, listen, we're all adults. You know, Penny has been criticized. You know, it's a two-way street. If he wants to be critical in response, even use language that coaches don't normally use in press conferences while doing it, it doesn't bother me. I say the F word all the time in my private life. If Penny Hardaway wants to use that word while talking to Jeff or anybody else, it's totally fine with me. He doesn't owe anybody an apology. He doesn't need to be reprimanded, suspended, punished in any way. All he needs to do is start doing the job that he was hired to do, which is win games at the University of Memphis. He was hired for a lot of different reasons, to re-energize the program, to recruit, to sell tickets. He's done all of those things. But the most important part of the job was always going to be producing results, winning, going to NCAA tournaments, and advancing. And as much as I'd like to try, given that every time Penny Hardaway struggles, my Twitter mentions get lit up. You know, I'm connected to this. I'm the one who said they should hire Penny before anybody else. I'm the one who said they should fire Tubby before anybody else. I'm the one who wrote the column after the number one recruiting class. The first one was secure and said, who's got jokes now? Go find that column on Twitter. It is retweeted to me every day that Penny Hardaway takes a loss. Every day somebody will send an emoji with the raised hand. Hey, GP, I got jokes now. Because that was the tweet. A lot of people had jokes when Memphis fired Tubby Smith to hire Penny Hardaway. Now he's got the number one recruiting class in America. Anybody still got jokes? And my responses after the Tulane game, after the SMU game, after the East Carolina game are all, hey, I got jokes. Yeah, we definitely got jokes. Oh, I got plenty of jokes. I'm tied to this. Not in any sort of real meaningful way, but, you know, when you are an opinion giver, which is, you know, my career, you like to be right more than wrong. So I don't want to say nobody wants Penny Hardaway to succeed more than I, but trust me, I'm high up on the list. I want him to succeed first because I care about the basketball program, because I care about the athletic department at university. I want him to succeed because I like him on a personal level. But I also want him to succeed because him succeeding means that I was right when I said this is what Memphis ought to do. If we're being completely honest, right now in this moment, as much as I'd like to tell you otherwise, it looks like I might have been wrong. Fire Tubby? Sure. Got that one right. That was easy. Anybody can see that one. But hire Penny is not going well. So I don't think he should be fired right now. I do believe if he wants to be back for year five, he should be back for year five. But if year five's not good, I don't know that you get a year six. If year five's like year four, there's no way you get a year six. And that would be disappointing and unfortunate for everybody. So I guess I'm just sort of on the should Penny be fired conversation. I'm where I continue to be where I've been for a while. I can acknowledge it's not going well. I can acknowledge it's been a circus. I can acknowledge there's been incredible missteps. But I still think the smartest thing to do for the university at this moment is to ride it out and hope that it gets better. A, because terminating Penny Hardaway just in a vacuum should be a last resort. You only do it when you feel like you have no choice. And secondly, they owe him a lot of money. You know, this is a cash-strapped athletic department.
They owe the last guy a lot of money, right?
In excess of $10 million, I believe.
Yeah.
So they're still paying Tubby Smith to have to pay Penny Hardaway on top of that and then go out and hire a new coach. And, oh, by the way, given that you're about to be, soon as Houston, Cincinnati, and UCF leave for the Big 12, unless you move to the Big 12 eventually with them, you're about to be in a terrible basketball league. Like, who are you really hiring? You know, people ask me sometimes who should Memphis hire if Penny Hardaway was no longer the coach. And I can give you some names because that's my job, but they're not names that you would like. They're probably not names that you would know. You know, the idea that Memphis under these circumstances, about to be in an inferior American Athletic Conference, can just go out and hire somebody the fan base will get excited about, just that's not reality. None of this is good. That program's in a pretty bad place. And oh, by the way, I don't know if you noticed last night, but there weren't a lot of people at the game either. Mm-hmm. So the attendance is starting to dwindle. That's another bad sign. I think if you're Memphis, you ride it out. You keep hoping that it gets better. Because if it does get better, the fans will come back immediately. They want so badly to watch Penny succeed. Everybody does. I don't think everybody wanted Tubby Smith to succeed at the end. I don't think everybody wanted Josh Pastner to succeed at the end. I do believe everybody wants Penny Hardaway still to succeed, but he's got to do it. And if he doesn't, then these conversations are going to get more uncomfortable.
Yeah, and I mean, you see all that from all the people on social media last night calling in today. Like, there's a lot of passion about this and about what happened last night. It's clearly made national media, and you see, you didn't see that at the end of Tubby. There was not passion. Like, it wasn't like how this is happening today. You know what I mean? Like people still care deeply about what's going on with this program, even though this season has, let's face it, been pretty much a disaster. You didn't see that at the end with Tubby Smith. There was a don't care type feeling around the program, right?
Of course. You know, people didn't care. You know, they didn't know the staff. You know, Tubby did a terrible job of you know, making himself available and trying to connect with the city. His staff did a terrible job of trying to connect with local media and trying to, you know, help write a different narrative. There was just some real distance between the fan base, the media, and Tubby and his entire staff. They recruited at a historically terrible level. They won at a historically terrible level. Like, don't ever forget, as bad as this Memphis season feels right now, the Tigers are still, you know, 54th at KenPom. In Tubby's last year, they were 161st. You know, they might not be drawing 18,000 fans, but they're still drawing a lot more than what Tubby's teams were drawing. This isn't good. It's not what anybody wanted, but it's still significantly better than where we were. Don't ever let anybody try to tell you otherwise. But, you know, it's got to get better. There's no getting around it. People still care deeply, and I don't think it'll be that people will stop caring, but people will just decide, this is not the way I want to spend my time. Like, I'm not going to live and die with it anymore because I'm tired of dying. I'm not going to, you know, get off work early to drive downtown, park, go in, watch a basketball team that doesn't play together, doesn't play the right way, and doesn't win enough. People, it won't be that they stop caring about Penny or the Tigers. It'll just be that they'll decide, this isn't the way I want to spend my time. And the next step is, this isn't the way I want to spend my money. Like, I know people who are season ticket holders who have already said, I'm not renewing next year. I know the real people, not folks on a Facebook page or on Twitter, real people. I know a season ticket holder. I've got a friend of mine who's a season ticket holder. He doesn't even go to the games. He said, I just don't even want to go. I bought the tickets. They're sitting in a drawer. I just don't want to go. Now, you know what the problem is? Next year, he won't even buy the tickets. Right now, he's got them and he doesn't use them. Mm-hmm. Next year, he won't buy them. And that'll be another problem. So, you know, we're getting to a place where, you know, I never thought we would be. You know, I know it's easy for, and you'll talk to Dan Walken next, and I respect Dan. And, you know, the reason I have him on this show every week is because I think he's really smart. I think he's a great columnist, and I respect him. You know, I saw him last night saying this was very easy to see. And it might have been for him, but it wasn't for me. I thought this would go well. I was right that Penny would sell tickets. I was right that he would re-energize the program. I was correct that he would recruit at the highest level of the sport. I said all of those things. I wrote all of the things. Those things came true. And what I believed is that if those things come true, the rest takes care of itself. Like, you might be overwhelmed as a, quote, high school coach or AAU coach in the Big 12 or the ACC or the Big 10 or the SEC, but you should just be able to overwhelm, from a talent perspective, everybody in the AAC, or at least most people in the AAC. If you're literally enrolling the number one recruiting class in America two times in a three-year span, I thought it would be that simple. Whether Penny was a A-level coach, B-level coach, C-level coach, if you're given the number one recruiting class in America or even top 10 classes, a couple of five stars here and there, he's going to have so much more talent than the Tulanes and the East Carolinas and the SMUs, that the only issues will be, you know, a Greg Marshall at Wichita State or a Kelvin Sampson at Houston. And, you know, I can acknowledge that I've clearly been wrong about that debate, because it's not just the Houstons that have given him problems. It's the SMUs and the East Carolinas and the UCFs and the Tulanes, and this season also the Georgias and the Mississippi State. It's a mess right now.
Yeah. Well, they take on a bad Tulsa team on Sunday, so let's hope that that is the start of getting this thing turned around, because it's not going good right now. GP, appreciate you coming on. I know you're busy today. We'll be watching tomorrow for the Auburn-Kentucky game, where you're going to be on sideline on CBS, and we will talk to you again on Monday. Appreciate it, man.
No, thank you for doing what you're doing, and it should be a fun weekend. I am exhausted, but we're going to have a 30-minute pregame show on CBS before Kentucky and Auburn. I'm going to have a pregame interview with Bruce Pearl that'll be in that show, and then, you know, be on the sideline for what is, you know, the biggest game of the weekend and one of the biggest games in college basketball so far this season. So it should be awesome. And then, you know, assuming everything goes well, I'll be back in studio Monday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.